Good morning, everyone, if it is morning where you are. Our reading today is from Philippians chapter 4, from verse 10 to verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 10 to 13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Father, please be with us now. Help us to hear the message of these verses and help us to know the secret of contentment. Amen. How are you? I'm not going to get an answer from a camera, am I? But have a think. How have you answered that question recently? What are you thinking now, or how would you answer it if someone was to ask you now? I'm sure it always depends on lots of different things. Like, who's asking you, and how much do you think they really want to know? How are you feeling at the time? How well did you sleep the night before? How's the weather outside? All those things make a difference, don't they? How would you like to answer the question? What would you like to think and say when someone asks, "How are you?" What is the Christian way to answer the question? What should we think and say? Well, in these verses, in fact, in the whole book of Philippians, we have the Apostle Paul telling us how he is. And what we have here in this section towards the end is, after all he said, he kind of says, after all that, all things considered, I am content. I am content. I'm sure we would like to be able to say the same thing. He says in verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Well, today, we're going to learn that secret. We're going to think about what contentment actually is, and then we're going to learn the secret of contentment, and then we're going to see that we learn it over time. We learn contentment over time. So firstly, what is contentment? Well, let's start with what it isn't. Contentment is not about having no problems. It's not about having no concerns, no bad feelings. We can see that when we look through Philippians. Because all the way through, Paul has been telling us how he's feeling. Let me read a few of the things that he says about himself. He says, I am torn. And he's talking about torn between staying alive and dying and going to heaven. He talks about hoping to be cheered. He talks about his sorrow. He talks about hoping to have less anxiety. He talks about his tears. And yet here, having said all of that, he's now telling us, I am content. And so we're saying that being contentment can include those things. Contentment is also not about not wanting anything to change. Again, we can see this with what Paul says throughout this letter. He talks about longing to see the people that he's writing to. I'm sure we can relate to that at the minute. He talks about straining and pressing on. He's making plans, not just sitting back happy with his feet up. He talks about eagerly awaiting, so he's looking to the future as well as the present. So being content can include waiting, hoping, planning. So it's not about having no problems, and it's not about not wanting anything to change. And we can also see that it's not natural. It's not easy, we could even say. You see, he talks about having learned to be content. And in verse 12, he talks about contentment as a secret. He has learned it over time. So if you're thinking, I don't have contentment, or at best, I occasionally have contentment, or even if you're thinking, I don't even know what contentment really is, then don't worry, because we can learn it. That's a relief, isn't it? You see, I used to think being content was just about basically being happy, about everything being good, about your circumstances being exactly the way you wanted them to be. It seemed a bit unrealistic. So we've talked about what contentment is not, but what actually is it? Contentment is a kind of inner strength. Let me give you a definition of the word used for contentment here. It surprised me when I came across this. It said contentment is one who becomes an independent person, sufficient to himself and in need of no one else. Independent, sufficient, in need of no one else. It's about inner strength, not being moved and changed all the time by what's going on around you. And who wouldn't want that? So, what actually is the secret of contentment? We've thought a little bit about what contentment is, but why does Paul call it a secret? And what is that secret? Well, he gets to it in verse 13. After saying that he has learnt to be content in all his different situations, he explains why when he gets to verse 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the secret. Contentment, inner strength, the ability to cope with whatever's going on around us comes from Christ. Remember our definition of contentment? Being independent, self-sufficient, in need of no one else? Well, Paul said actually real contentment, Christian contentment, is about being dependent on Christ, about being Christ sufficient and in need of no one but him. Contentment is maybe a little bit like getting a vaccine. Let me explain what I mean. There are lots of ways that we can try and deal with COVID, this situation, this circumstance that we are all in. We can wear face masks, which help to a point. But maybe if you're anything like me, you sometimes forget to put them on, find them uncomfortable. Or you can use social distancing. Again, partly helpful, but it's difficult, even impossible at times. Those are all things that are kind of helping us from the outside. But this vaccine, people who are getting the vaccine are being helped from the inside out. They're getting an inner strength. So even though the chaos is still going on around them, they can go through it knowing they are safe. Not completely ineffective, maybe, but they are safe. And so the secret to contentment is Christ. But circumstances make feeling content and knowing that you have enough strength in Christ Circumstances make that hard. Living life is how we learn contentment. And so we've seen what contentment is. We've seen that the secret to contentment is Christ. But now we're going to see that to actually learn this and experience this might take time. For Paul, it looks like it did. So yes, I said at the start we were going to learn the secret of contentment, but I'm afraid you're not going to go away from this talk thinking, I am completely content. Instead, it's something that we learn gradually. I hope we can go away from this knowing it is immediately, straight away available, and that it is always available in Christ. But I guess knowing that in your head is one thing, and really experiencing it and believing it and remembering it all the time is something that might take a bit of time to learn. It could take us a lifetime to learn to be content. So Paul says he has learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And he talks about the different situations he's been on them. And I think basically now he's able to look back on those situations and see that contentment, inner strength in Christ, was always available. The circumstances he had gone through proved that Christ always strengthened him. And so he talks about the hard times that he's gone through. He talks about being in need, being brought low, being hungry, living in want. And from what we know about Paul, he went through some seriously hard times. He's in prison as he writes these very words. Let me read you a few verses from 2 Corinthians 11, where he basically sums up his life of difficulty as he's followed Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:23, but I'll read it out. This is Paul writing about himself. He says, I have worked harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? He felt weak. He was in danger. His life was hard. But in all that, at all those times, he had an inner strength. He had contentment in Christ. Of course, your mind, your body, your feelings are going to be affected by what's going on around you. Of course they are. That's always going to be the case. And God invites us to keep praying to him. We can still cry, pray, share openly with others if we're finding things hard. A few verses before the ones we're looking at, we're told in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Being content in hard times can be hard. But being content in good times can also be hard. You see, Paul also talks about when he's had plenty and been well fed. You see, the challenge here is that contentment, inner strength, is something that we, instead of getting it from Christ, try and get it from other things. We can try and rely on things that aren't reliable, and they might get taken away. Think about people who are well off, people who are rich, or maybe just people who've never really had to go through a really hard time. They aren't always more content than the poor. You might think we could divide the world into those who are well off and those who aren't, and we would see the well off ones are happy and content and the poor ones aren't, but that's just not the case. Instead, people who are really rich might want more, might be greedy, might be clingy to the things that they do have. You see, contentment means not wanting more than what God has given us. And it means being thankful for the things that he has given us. And sometimes that can be hard during good times, easy times, times of doing well. So where might you be looking for contentment apart from Jesus? Where might you be looking for the secret of contentment apart from him? A vaccine, a new job, a holiday. These are all good things that we can thank God for and enjoy, but none of them are the secret to contentment. We could just ask the people who have those things and we would see. You see, here, Paul is actually thanking the people he's writing to for a gift that they sent to him. He's thankful for it. He's saying that the gift that he got has caused him to praise God, to rejoice in God. So he's saying, he's showing us the good way to react to having good things, to be thankful for them, enjoy them, but not to really rely on them, and instead to know our inner strength comes from Christ. So what circumstances are you in that might make it difficult to be content? Or where can you look at your past and see proof that Christ does provide strength when you need it? Let's finish by thinking about the secret of contentment again. We've said that Christ is the secret of contentment. He is the source of it. You see, he made himself nothing. At times we might feel like we have nothing. At times we might feel low. But Christ made himself low. He entered our difficult circumstances. He lived in this world with the challenges that this world brings. He knows the things that can make us discontent. He knows the hard things that can make us discontent. He knows the things that might be attractive, the things that might take us away from God, and the things that might say, be content in us. He knows them all. And he humbled himself by dying for us. He has gone through the worst circumstances, but he has come out the other side. He has now been lifted up by God his Father so that we can all see him and praise him. You see, we're following someone who walked the walk. Jesus doesn't just talk the talk. He has been there, done that. And if we're people who believe in him and who follow him, then we follow the same pattern of being lowered and then lifted up. We get humbled. He humbled himself and he humbles us. So isn't he the one that we want strengthening us in those times? Because he knows. And he's not separate from us and providing strength from the outside, there one minute, gone the next. Instead, if we have faith in Christ, then he is providing strength from within, inner strength, permanent contentment, always available. And so in difficult times, we can prove to ourselves and to others that we believe in what Jesus did. And we can get to know him better and even become more like him as we follow him in this life. And he will use whatever circumstances we're going through for that to happen. A few verses later, after the ones that we've been looking at, Paul writes this to the church. This is 4 verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let's finish with that thought. Amen.